and resentment that keep us from being united in Jesus will not go on any longer. They will not go on any longer. They're done. They're over. They're finished. They're just not going to continue. And that's, of course, what I wanted to share with you, Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, as our foundational text. You know, we put the old man off. We put his evil deeds off. That's what happened. That's what occurred when we were baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And please, let me also define, because I believe it's necessary, what baptism is about. It is being immersed in water for the remission of our sins or forgiveness of our sins, and also to be saved. To be saved. Let me give you two passages. The first is Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter, in response to the question raised by the Jews on that occasion on the day of Pentecost, answered them when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" by saying, "Repent and be baptized," or fully immersed in water, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, Peter said that we are to be baptized in order to be saved. He said it was not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus. And you know, one of the component parts of course, being baptized or immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins is rising up out of that water to walk in newness of life. So when Paul's talking in Colossians chapter 3 about putting the old self off, that's exactly what he's talking about. That's what is symbolized when we go down into the water, a death to sin. We're being fully covered over with the water, buried in baptism, but we're going to rise up to walk in newness of life. So if you're in this audience and you've gone through that experience, to God be the glory. Magnificent. And I'm so thankful for you as brothers and sisters in Christ. But understand, we put the old man down. He's gone. He's done. He's never to be brought up again. No, the person that rised up out of that water rised up to walk in newness of life and began their walk with Jesus on that occasion. And we need to remember what a tremendous and wonderful thing that is, continuing the effect into this day as we're living our lives more completely according to the will of God. And it's amazing how over a lifespan, in the life of a Christian who is growing and developing, how much closer to our God we feel and how much more appreciative we are of what He accomplished through His Son. From this day forward, rather than stir up anger and hate by dragging disagreements and speculation out to others, we will go directly to the one who sins against us, as the Word of God commands us to do. Now, it's very important that you see the list of scriptures here. The first of these is actually not Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, although it's listed, but the first of these is Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Now, if you've never seen those verses or you haven't concentrated on them or thought about them in a while, let me encourage you to find Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, where Jesus is saying, if you are offering your gift at the altar and you know that your brother has aught against you, you are to leave your gift, not carry out offering the gift, but leave it, and go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer the gift. Then when you go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, it says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him your fault in private, or his fault, I should say, in private, that you might win your brother. Other translations say, gain your brother. That's the goal and objective of Matthew chapter 18, 15, to gain our brother or to win that individual. So you notice it goes in both directions. If you carefully look at Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, if a brother has aught against you, go and rectify that situation and then come and offer your gift. But in Matthew chapter 18, 15, if your brother sins against you, then go and show him his fault between you and him privately in order to win your brother. You see, in both directions, the scriptures are teaching us to get things worked out. And then, of course, we add Galatians chapter 6. Let's go together, please, to Galatians chapter 6 and take a look at this so important passage. Galatians 6, 1. It says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Powerful instruction from the truth of God. Amazing what he's covered. You know, we might think one thing only, but there are many other things as well that we need to take into consideration. From this day forward, we must not allow bitterness to come and live in our hearts, but always leave room for Jesus to live in our hearts. Now let's go to the book of Ephesians, please. The next book over from where we were. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Share with me 30 and 31, please. Ephesians 4, 30 and 31. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." You see, all these things have to cease. They have to stop. They may have characterized us well before we became baptized believers, but they can't characterize us now as the children of God that we've been blessed with. Indeed, if you've been fully immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul, and you're in this audience today, these things cannot continue. They cannot. And it's very important we understand that. And then also, of course, I'd like you to look at Colossians 3:15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And I thank God that you're sharing these passages with me today. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Isn't that beautiful? You see, we have to let Jesus rule in our hearts. Not any of these things that would pull us away from Him, or from each other for that matter, but instead, let Him rule within our hearts, and let Him direct our lives, and submit to the will of God through our Lord and our Savior. From this day forward, we have to consider and obey the Word of God as a whole. Not simply a passage that teaches us to go to a brother who sins against us in order to gain that brother, although, of course, very significant and important that passage is. But look at not only Acts 20, verse 20, but look at 27 as well, please. Acts chapter 20, verse 20 and verse 27. Verse 20, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." Then look at verse 27, same chapter. "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Paul preached the whole purpose of God. He didn't keep something out. He preached that which, of course, he had through inspiration. The whole purpose of God. And on this occasion, just so you will know, here in chapter 20 of Acts, at this point, he's talking to the elders from from Ephesus, that had met him in Miletus. And he's giving them some parting instruction. You know, they realize they'll never see him again. This is the last time. And they will literally fall on his neck and they will kiss him before he departs from them. But oh, this instruction is so powerful. So powerful. And I thought about it a lot when I was privileged on that brief occasion to serve as an elder, and others of you in this audience who have perhaps served as elders before. This is a passage you go to and you really see this wonderful instruction from God through the Holy Spirit that is given to the elders on this occasion. It's just so powerful. From this day forward, the Lord's church will seek to maintain fellowship by together walking in the light. What I'm referring to is listed here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, is cleansing us from all sin. Absolutely. And that's the idea. That's present tense. Is cleansing. Not just simply cleanses, but is cleansing. So you see how important it is that we have fellowship with one another because we walk in the light in which our Lord is. From this day forward, we will bear one another's burdens. We will bear one another's burdens. Consider the very next verse there in Galatians chapter 6, after verse 1 that we've already looked at, comes verse 2. Let's take a look at it, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And it is in the form of command, just to let you know that. Again, 6:2 of Galatians. It says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now, we are human, and we have our problems, every single one of us. We would be dishonest to say otherwise, to say that we never have problems. No, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. There's no doubt about it. Romans 3:23 clearly states that. So there will be burdens to bear, and we need to be there for each other. You need to be able to count on me, and I need to be able to count on you, that when I have a burden, I can come to you, and I can let you know, and you will help me bear that burden. I won't have to bear it alone. You see, that's the wonderful, glorious thing about being a family in Jesus Christ. We are family, folks. I realize we're not blood kin in the traditional sense, but we are through the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're family. We're family. And we need to be there for each other and bear with each other through the difficult circumstances of life. Not push someone away. Well, that's their problem. They got to deal. No. No, it's ours. We're a family. And we're going to bear one another's burdens from this day forward. From this day forward, we will speak the truth in love and grow together in the Lord. Please, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 4. Many go there when they talk about unity, understandably so. But I want to focus with you on chapter 4, verse 15, please. Ephesians 4, 15, 1-5. In which we are so beautifully and wonderfully instructed by the Apostle Paul. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. See, we've got to grow up. We don't want to be immature. We want to grow up. We want to be the mature Christian that God wanted us to be. And we want to grow. And we want to be challenged in our faith to grow. To learn more and draw closer to the Lord and to each other is our goal as Christians. And it is difficult. I'm not going to say it's not. It's difficult. But it's also doable. Through the help and strength of God through Jesus Christ, it's doable. And that component is speaking the truth. Speaking the truth. Very important we understand that. From this day forward, we will not give the devil an opportunity against our unity and our bond in Jesus Christ. The passage I have here is incorrect. It is Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27. It says, do not give the devil an opportunity. We're not going to do that. We're not at all. In fact, our eyes are going to be open to see where he might try to come into some weak area among us and try to pry us apart through these kinds of things we're saying we're not going to do any longer from this day forward. So we're going to be aware. And that's why we're going to be here. And we're going to bear one another's burdens. And we're going to be supportive of one another. And we're going to grow together in the truth. And we're going to love each other. Love each other. Oh, it's always wonderful when we do. And it always works when it's used. Love. And from this day forward, we will edify one another. That means to build up. We will build each other up in the truth. In the truth. Of course, what I want you to look at is Ephesians 4:29, please. 4:29. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You see, we're not going to make disparaging comments to one another. We're not going to say things that, well, I guess today they classify as sort of a backhanded compliment. No, we're going to say the things that will encourage, the things that will uplift, the things that will edify, we're going to say. To try to help each other's faith grow, grow, grow. Not diminish, not be beaten down, but grow as the Lord fully intended that to be the case. And from this day forward, we will put away all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all slander and malice completely away from us. And this comes to us by way of Ephesians 4:31 that we looked at before. And from this day forward, we will be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God has indeed forgiven us. Let's share Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. What a blessing is God's forgiveness, folks. What a blessing. And if it wasn't for it, we couldn't consider ourselves forgiven. When we indeed submit to His will and are fully immersed in water for that purpose. But we can, and we rejoice in that God has so thoroughly forgiven us through His Son, our Savior Jesus. And we are to forgive each other on that basis. Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. Please never hold back your forgiveness. Forgive. For God forgave us. And we cherish that in our hearts. It means so much to us day in and day out. And one that is not on the list, I must include. We will exercise humility with one another from this day forward. We will exercise humility. And please, let me direct you to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And please let me share with you verses 1 through 4. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful, brothers and sisters, friends. It's beautiful instruction from the timeless Word of God that we need. I know sometimes things can happen. People can have differences that can spring up among them, even in the Lord's church. But from this day forward, we're going to recommit ourselves to the truth of God's Word and give ourselves to it wholeheartedly. And not simply talk about it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. This is how we're going to get back on track. I appreciate Brother Bob leading the songs that he did. With regard to this exact idea, we need to be able to rejoice in Jesus. We need to come in here with a broad smile on our face. Thankful to see our brothers and sisters. You know, I've always thought of worship as that little caveat in the sentence of a week where I get a break from the pressures and the stress that I face in my workaday world. And I'm among my brothers and sisters, people I genuinely love and I appreciate and who are important to me. And I want to be the same to them. I want to be a brother they can count on, somebody they can love, somebody they can appreciate. And I want to do everything I can to uplift you in the most holy faith, encourage you to follow the Word of God. And that's what this is all about. So please, from this day forward, let's take this seriously. Let's be exactly this way, committed to the Scriptures. And let's give God the very best that we have. Encourage you. If you're here and you haven't been baptized, then we encourage you, of course, to respond to this invitation, to come forward. And it will be our honor that you might submit to the will of God and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you haven't done that. If you're part of the family in this place, dear brothers and sisters, let's deeply take this to heart, what we've talked about today, what we've committed ourselves to from this day forward. And if there is something that we need to go before our Father together about in prayer, please come on this invitation while we stand and sing. Come on down.